Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Carissa Conti, author of the book Chasing Phantoms, returns to the show for a two-part interview on the topic of interference. In past interviews with Carissa, we narrowed the focus of her research into conceptual discussions in areas such as backdrop people, the nature of reality, and the ubiquitous high-tech apparatus set up for surveillance. The concept of interference is threaded amid her writing because at the core, we're talking about something manifesting to affect the outcome of how things play out in this realm and time period. There are many subcategories in this topic, but we explore with Carissa the various forms interference takes on to affect the individual and also groups. We discuss manipulated reality and how to recognize it happening. For example, have you had obstacles consistently appear to the point that it's absurd while accomplishing a task important to you? You may have dismissed it as, oh well, that's life, or that was really strange. Carissa's research into this conceptual realm of interference isn't meant to influence people into becoming paranoid or to take less responsibility in their life. The idea is to learn about the nature of interference and understand how it operates for the good and the bad. Carissa suggests to learn how to recognize it and respond to it instead of reacting, or as she mentions, in the spirit of the Toltec religion, not doing. Carissa runs the website intoworlds.net. She is the author of many articles and the free online book, Chasing Phantoms. She joins us right now for the first part of this interview. Carissa, welcome back to Another News.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Well, interference is a huge topic, as you know very well, having written extensively in your article about it. Can you define interference and what brought the idea or concept of interference to you initially?
Sure. Well, the kind of interference that I've written about on my website involves other forces who meddle in human affairs towards negative ends, you know, both on a global level as well as on an individual level. So those other forces, they can vary and can be anything from what people consider to be quote-unquote aliens, as well as interdimensional / hyperdimensional beings. And sometimes I wonder if both aliens and interdimensional stuff is one and the same. Demonic entities, higher up present day elite humans working in cahoots with some of these forces, and this is kind of fringe, but even, you know, time-traveling humans trying to change the timelines and the outcome of history, basically. So interference can encompass a large swath of activity, from directly abducting and programming a person to change their behaviors and actions, to working through the various people around a particular person and have them negatively impact that person through the things that they say and do to them. And on a global scale, working through the people who are in charge of things to have them make decisions that are not in the best interest of humanity. You know, the never-ending wars and strife and genocides and manufactured poverty and sickness. It's just that all-around constant mayhem and chaos that keeps the world in a perpetually discombobulated and distracted state so that humans can never reach their full potential as a species. And then as far as how I became aware of the concept, it was actually several different things that kind of converged together in my life at the same time. So I'll try to condense it down. But the awareness began by, I'd say, late 2001, when I realized I was being taken. You know, there were overt indicators of that going on. And as it was, I'd already been experiencing several years of increased paranormal activity in my life since around 2000, due to having had my brother in my life with everything that follows him around, which that's something I wrote about on my website in a write-up called The Vortex. Listeners could look that up if they're interested. But by bringing him back into my life and roommating with him, trying to help him, the things that were around him transferred over to me. So he himself was a form of interference, you could say, with his, you know, never-ending criminal activity that was always bringing the cops around and the negative paranormal energy that surrounded him, so which jeopardized my safety being that I was linked to him. So I eventually removed him from the picture due to that escalating negativity. And then by June of 2002, I was now in a relationship with Tom, who I'm still with, and he's the author of the website Montauk.net. And once that happened, with Tom being who he is, on top of what I had already had going on in my life, interference kind of ramped up a few notches, just basically to a whole other level. In particular, targeting our relationship, trying to break things apart before it barely had the chance to get off the ground. So between the over-abduction experiences and what I experienced after bringing my brother into my life for several years, on top of the relationship interference with Tom and the ongoing paranormal that was happening in the background for a few years, that's how I became aware of this aspect of reality. So all of it kind of combined and converged during what was basically about a 3-year time period of, you know, really intense activity.
As listeners know, Carissa has been on the show before, and one thing that we discussed is that she keeps a journal and she keeps notes because she writes about these topics. A lot of people wouldn't necessarily start connecting these dots, even if this did occur to them or became very obvious and they saw through what would look like a normal obstacle, but they realized it was something more. Now, you do mention throughout the interference article on your website that it's a slippery slope in distinguishing between interference from a hyperdimensional source, as you mentioned, and something that's probably an ordinary obstacle. Can you explain that further?
Sure. Well, it depends on the circumstances. There's different indicators for different situations. So you have work-related interference, you have relationship-related interference, general life obstacle interference, etc. So I could kind of break it down just to give an idea really briefly with some situational examples for how to differentiate. But with, for instance, work interference, and a lot of people can relate to this because we all have to work, but you know, there could be several things happening when it comes to workplace interference. Number one, you could just have genuinely good coworkers who are just having a bad day or a mood swing, and where if you just cut them some slack and give them some time, they'll get over it and maybe even apologize for whatever bad behavior and stuff that they're throwing your way, and life goes on. So then you also have two, which is actual neg interference, which is trying to mess with you and sabotage something. And then three, it may be a situation where the universe is trying to drive you out of a bad job situation that you're clearly not supposed to be at anymore, but you're not getting the hint. So it's important to try to differentiate what's what. So what I've noticed in my own situation with regards to negative interference that's trying to get me to prematurely quit a job, for instance, in order to mess with my finances and life stability, is that the negative interference, it'll happen intermittently. And it kind of utilizes coworkers that are either obviously negatively oriented or they're nice but troubled, you know, because stuff has an easy time working through them. So there will be these like opportunistic intermittent flare-ups where I'm dealing with totally unnecessary shenanigans. But usually these troubled coworkers will also be causing trouble for others. It won't be isolated to just me, which is another major way I'm able to tell that the issue is them, not me. So just stay put for the time being. You know, don't make any rash decisions to quit. And these opportunistic interference attempts will also usually happen when I'm in a vulnerable position financially. So it's like it's trying to take advantage of that weak spot to drive me out. However, when I'm at a job that I'm just not supposed to be at, but I'm holding on and not leaving despite my intuition telling me it's wrong, then negative junk will just start piling on, and then it keeps piling on and keeps piling on to the point where it eventually just gets ridiculous, and it's like I'm literally getting driven out. And I've actually spoken with people who've described experiencing that exact same thing, you know, where they literally feel like they're getting driven out of a job, but they knew they weren't supposed to be there, so it was all good. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes obvious when that's happening. But intuition is an important key in this. You know, you have to stay calm, just try to feel it out, and don't do anything impulsive. Just kind of observe and analyze what's going on until you can maybe get a better idea of whether or not, is this just interference? This is stuff trying to mess with me, or am I literally, I'm supposed to be leaving, I'm not supposed to be here. And then you have your relationship interference. And then using my own experiences with when Tom and I first got together, there were several things that happened to us which indicated that we were obviously being messed with versus just some sort of naturally occurring problem or incompatibility. It became clear to us. And one of the things was that, which is weird, but both of us would be overcome with sleepiness at the same time when we try to hang out together. So literally the moment he'd be walking through my apartment door, I'd be overcome with tiredness after being completely awake moments before. And then him as well, as soon as he'd get around me. So, you know, obviously being super sleepy when you're around your significant other, it not only drains your enthusiasm for being together, but it, you know, can create some paranoid suspicion. And also another one was that we both suddenly shut off to each other at the same exact time. So we went from hot to total cold pretty much overnight for no explicable reason.
Now, I want to just jump in for a second. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you know, this is a very subtle thing that you might not otherwise be paying attention to. However, it's enough to cause someone who doesn't suspect something weird going on to make a decision. And so it does work in that realm.
Right, to just sort of keep you apart. So yeah, I mean, we went from like, I can't get enough of being around you to I don't want to see you like again. Like if you left my life right now, I wouldn't even care. So, you know, again, even though absolutely nothing had transpired between us to justify those sudden negative feelings. So it was exactly what, like what Eve Lorgan has discussed in her Alien Love Bite research. So I don't know, probably a lot of listeners may be familiar with her. She's written about how targets will be brought together by these other forces, be it aliens or whatever, with amped up feelings of being hot for each other, only to have one or both partners, suddenly switch off, which, you know, it causes extreme emotional distress. So we experienced that. It was just like textbook, basically. And then another thing that was weird was that when we decided to sit down and just talk about what was happening, which, you know, a lot of people wouldn't do, but we decided, hey, let's just talk about this, that shutting off, it lifted instantly. It's almost kind of like when you flip the light on and the cockroaches scatter.
Oh, that's interesting, Carissa. you mentioned something. You said most people wouldn't do that, to
right.
sit down and talk. Why wouldn't they?
Well, first off, to let people know, we were in our 20s, so we were young when this was happening. And, you know, a lot of people, if you're young and you're immature, you wouldn't approach it in a mature way. Like, let's sit down and talk about it. Sometimes people are afraid of confrontation. Or sometimes this stuff is just having its way with somebody to such an extent that it just makes it, I don't even want to talk to you about it. Just get out of my life. Like, we're done. It's over. But the important thing is that me and Tom had come across Eve Lorgan's research before we hooked up. Like, we had both read it, so we were aware of this. And so we had that advantage to recognize what was happening, but a lot of people, they wouldn't, unfortunately. And so it would get the best of them, and then they might be somebody who is, you know, immature and doesn't want to talk about stuff. You know, they don't want to face things, or they're afraid of confrontation, so that's why they wouldn't sit down and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you'd have, you know, the general life obstacles. So how do you differentiate between that and what could be interference from other sources? For me, when it's just an ordinary problem or obstacle, it seems that for me, it's usually just a one-off thing. And oftentimes, whatever it is that's going wrong will be easily remedied, or it happens in such a way as to make it as painless as possible, so it's easy to fix and get past. Versus interference, which will be unnatural, and it seems to be just coming at you in the most improbable ways and at the most inopportune times. Like, could it be any more obvious that stuff is trying to get in your way and prevent you from doing whatever it is that you're trying to do? So it's just really unnatural and improbable and really obvious.
And something that comes to mind is the pen in the elevator.
Oh, yeah. That was something I'd written about for my website. It was when I was in Portland, Oregon. I was in an elevator holding an application. I was a temp. I'll just say that I was a temp. And some of my coworkers who really liked me, they had encouraged me, hey, you should try to go perm with the company. You know, we'd love for you to work here. So I took their suggestion and went to HR and got an application. But when I was in the elevator on the way back down to my floor, I was questioning, like, what am I doing? Like, what am I saying? That I want to, like, permanently stay here in Portland, Oregon? I mean, my plan was to move on to Florida. I mean, what am I doing? Like, trying to get a job here and stay permanent. And then, you know, so I was going back and forth, like, should I fill out this application or not? And then right at that moment, the elevator stops to let out a guy. And as he was getting out of the elevator, this silver pen by the brand Cross. People probably are familiar with that brand, Cross brand pens. It came from the back corner of the elevator, like spinning across the floor out of nowhere, and landed at my feet. And so then the guy gets out of the elevator, the doors close. I'm looking down at this pen that landed at my feet, almost as if something's trying to tell me to fill out the application. And there was another woman in the elevator with me, and she was looking at the back corner from where the pen came from. And it was her who said, "It's the pen from nowhere." And it was just really freaky. So I just bent down and picked it up, and I just kind of contemplated, like, how am I supposed to interpret this? Is it negative stuff that wants me to fill out the application to stay in Portland because it's actually the wrong thing and that would be beneficial to them? Or is it from a positive source that wants me to do this and not go to Florida? You know, so I got all this like stuff going through my head trying to figure out how I'm supposed to interpret it. So in the end, I figured, you know, I don't think positive stuff works like this. So I'm not going to fill out the application and I'm going to go to Florida. And because I went to Florida, that's how me and Tom were able to connect.
This is an example of the negative, obvious interference influencing you to go in a particular direction.
Yeah, it's just so over the top. It's almost like they try too hard. And that's kind of something I've talked about before. Like I mentioned that actually in my book, Chasing Phantoms, where sometimes just the tactics that negatively oriented stuff uses, it just tries so hard, it like overshoots. it tries so hard. And then it just becomes really obvious as to make you suspicious. Where if it was a little more subtle, it might work, but it just goes so over the top, and it's just so improbable and unnatural.
It's a great example. And okay, so we're going down the list of how to discern between interference from an external source and something that's probably an ordinary obstacle interfering in your life that is normal.
Right.
Are there more categories here in this particular area?
Well, I think those are the main general ones, the work, the relationships, and just all around general. I mean, there's other like minor, there's all sorts of ways actually interference can affect people. It's basically an endless subject. It's huge. And as mentioned at the beginning, there's the macrocosm way in which it's affecting everybody on the planet as a whole, and then also down to the microcosm individual level. So it's a really huge subject.
Chris, you have a couple of words that you use. One is mm-hmm. neg and the other is stuff. Can you just define those for listeners?
Yeah, the neg, that's short for negative, just like in terms of like a negative entity, a negative force, whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, alien, demonic, whatever it may be. I just call them, it's like a general term,
okay.
You know, and people can make up their own mind about what the source is and where it's coming from, but I just, because they all, wherever it is, they all act negative, then that's just a good general term. And then stuff is just sort of my humorous phrase that I put it in quotes, quote unquote stuff, because again, I don't think it's any one thing, and it may be different for different people. So in some people's cases, it may very well be aliens. In other people's cases, they may be dealing with something that's on a demonic level. And sometimes I think those things maybe overlap, but they might be very separate. And then there could just be other types of beings that are like interdimensional that we don't really know what they are, but and how it works. But I just call it all quote unquote stuff.
Okay, thanks for defining that. Now back to this particular category of interference that you write about, and that's the people trying to accomplish for the greater good.
Right. So like I was saying, this is with this aspect of interference, it's basically trying to pound down those people who pose a positive threat to the world. And in some cases where they may even derail them early in life before they can start to accomplish what they came here to do. From what I've noticed, that level of interference often utilizes whatever vulnerable and or half empty people surround that person. Such as abusive family members, severe bullying, that kind of thing. And, you know, because a lot of what's happening in this reality is a tug of war between positive and negative forces. So you may come here with positive goals and a degree of protection, but because this realm is a free will zone, means the negative stuff has the right to have a go at you as well and to try to stop you. So anybody who incarnates here is putting themselves at risk, basically. So you got free will, you have the good, you got the bad, and both of them are running rampant, trying to do their thing. And that definitely happens against those with the positive life missions, it seems. And where they could make like a really positive dent in the world, and the next stuff wants to try to prevent that.
Right. So that shows up in many forms, mm-hmm. such as online, blogs, message boards, things like that. Maybe we can just take a look at some of the research and writing that you've done in that particular category.
Sure. And actually, before we jump into that, I just wanted to make a note really quick. There's a book called Remarkable Healings, A Psychiatrist Discovers Unsuspected Roots of Mental and Physical Illness, which is by Dr. Shakuntala Modi. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name right. In this book, it's a book that concerns demonic and neg entities that possess or attach to people and the manipulation and abuse and interference that they inflict on the host and those around them. And Dr. Modi in that book discusses what she terms the, quote, special purpose demons, and whose entire function is to thwart people who are here to accomplish their positive life missions. So I just wanted to really quick just share with people a quote from that book that pertains to this.
Oh, great.
In her book on page 305, she says, quote, if they, the special purpose demons, do not succeed by directly influencing and interfering with the individuals, then they try to stop them through the other people around them, including their loved ones. These special purpose demons are there for one and only one special purpose, and that is to stop individuals from fulfilling their God-given missions, end quote. So that was something that she uncovered in all of her hypnosis sessions where she was hypnotically regressing people who came to her for help. She's a psychiatrist with a practice in West Virginia. And this is just something that kept coming up over and over again from these people reporting that this happens.
That's heavy. That's really interesting material. That here you have a doctor who has written a book on the subject and calls them demons.
Yeah. So
there's a special task force assigned to these particular people trying to accomplish something for the greater good. That's wonderful. The interference manifests in a number of different ways for this particular category. On message boards where people are trying to maybe gather people together, or they get attacked. Even this radio station is attacked by certain blogs. That fits into a particular category of interference manifestation. Can you talk about that a bit?
Sure. That's something I've definitely witnessed a lot of, because I used to spend a lot of time online participating in message boards, and for like over 10 years, basically, at various message boards. And one of the reasons I got tired of it and I just grew weary, like, I can't do this anymore, is because exactly what you're talking about, like this kind of interference that takes place. It's basically textbook, and you see it over and over and over. Everywhere you go online, it's the same thing. Very few forums know how to properly deal with it. So most forums seem to eventually get overrun and unfortunately taken down by this sort of thing. But the way to summarize it is that it's the few rotten apples that spoil it for the bunch, because the good posters are oftentimes afraid of confrontation. They're reluctant to stick their neck out and get involved, while the leaders of these forums and sites and stuff, they're often inept and they don't know how to take charge of the situation and weed out the troublemakers. So the negative trolls start taking over and posting all their crappy content, while the good people who would normally be posting valuable content get pushed out. And then there's also the woo-woo. I call it woo-woo is another one of my funny terms I like to use, just the woo, you know, the weird stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's woo-woo stuff that can start happening too with these forums, where certain posters will suddenly feel the urge to attack other posters and kind of hone in on them because neg stuff is working through them. And I actually have heard directly from, and Tom too has heard from people, a couple of people that contacted us from his old message board forum that verified that they experienced that. So that's how I know it to be true. A couple of people reported that they felt like this force was kind of trying to work through them to get them to attack me specifically. Mm-hmm. I was like a big target on his forum because mm-hmm. I used to post a lot of good stuff. And mm-hmm. so these people would just show up out of nowhere and just start attacking me and creating a lot of mayhem, anything to distract and create discord and division. But a couple of people were honest and admitted that they could tell this was happening, and they felt really bad about it afterwards and apologized. And for one guy, he got so disturbed about the whole thing, he actually left the forum for a bit to regroup because he couldn't believe that had happened, where he could feel this force. It was like trying to take him over and make him like go after me and just create trouble. So
something that may not have ever happened to this individual before.
Right. And it really disturbed him, apparently. And so that's why he kind of left for a bit to regroup. Because apparently, from what I understand, he'd never experienced something that was so overt where he could feel this a force working through him that was foreign. It was not him.
Now, this is an area that you've written, again, extensively on in a recent article titled Hidden Puppet Masters. Well, in regard to being attacked online in message boards and blogs, you write about that in the Hidden Puppet Masters article. And you frame a number of the interactions in a very interesting way. One is false accusations and distortions, possibly nasty, unfair, untrue insults that may be really over the top, which don't even apply to you, just total nonsense, but which serves the purpose of getting the target totally riled up due to the bizarre and untrue defamatory nature of the accusations. And nothing you can do or say will change their minds, because they refuse to listen. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. In the context of the Puppet Masters article, it was with regards to abusers, for instance, but it's something that one sees in all sorts of areas of life. I mean, online, yes, you see that a lot. And it's something I experienced, actually. And I know it's something you've gone through yourself with your YouTube videos and some of the trolls that show up and post stuff on your videos. So you see it everywhere, not just within, like, abusers within your family, which is what I was thinking of when I wrote that. But online, you on message boards and things, like something that I've experienced all the time when I used to post on one particular forum was that, you know, 10 people could be saying the same thing I was saying, but people would just hone in on me, like I was the only one saying it, and act like I was the devil himself, and like it was the worst thing that ever heard anybody say, even though there was nothing wrong with what I was saying, and 10 other people were saying it too. So they would hone in on me and just go after me about it, or people would just misportray me in a certain way. They'd pick the fight with me, and even though I didn't cuss at them or insult them, and I was just kind of firm and strong, but not cussing and insulting them, they would act like they would cry foul and play the victim that I was just, I was attacking them, and then just try to make me look like evil, basically. And I was called a bully and all this stuff when they were the ones picking the fights and causing trouble. So it was hilarious. It's that projection thing, which I also talk about in Hidden Puppet Masters, where a lot of these negative types will accuse you of being and doing the same things that they are and what they're doing. So I experienced that a lot. And the whole purpose of that basically is just to create chaos and distraction and take attention away from the good posts and the good material that is being posted, and just try to create division and discord and bring the forum down as a whole, make people look bad who are actually good, take away from the good work that they're doing. And a lot of the stupider people tend to fall for it and they get caught up in that drama, and it works, you know, because a lot of people don't have awareness and they don't see through what's happening. And that's how forums get taken down. It's so easy. It's almost like they could write a textbook on how to do it. And then they all utilize the same tactics, and they just go from forum to forum to forum, or maybe YouTube videos, for instance, or blogs in the comments section. And they use all the same tactics and just going after people and kind of persecuting them. But an important thing to point out, though, and this is something that I will probably get into later on in the interview, is that the reason that kind of thing would happen to me, I think, in the first place, and something for people to consider because it may apply to them as well, is that I think I was a match for it on some level, like my frequency. There was something in my field, you could say, that was kind of a match for that, because being targeted and bullied and persecuted is something that's kind of followed me around throughout my whole life. So, and it may have even been something left over from past lives that just keeps following me around. So it's just sort of something that's in my field. And I was a match for it, and so that's why I kept attracting it in. And until I learned how to become aware of that and change that about myself, then I stopped attracting that kind of thing in. So that's an important thing to mention for anybody who may find themselves on the receiving end of any of these kind of defamatory attacks.
Oh, definitely. And I was fascinated by that description in your article, and I think you called it something like pulling through.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, that's actually a concept that was taught to me a few years ago by a female internet acquaintance that I had. And so I wasn't my own terminology. I give credit to her, but she kind of educated me on that concept. And, you know, I guess I hadn't really heard of it before she mentioned it, but once I heard it, it made total sense. It's like, oh yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But it's basically the idea of, like, you've got something swimming around in your field. Maybe you had negative events in your childhood that created traumas, or it could even be past life, you know, holdovers that are just carrying forth from lifetime to lifetime. It's almost like a soul scar, you know, sort of scar that's in your field. It attracts, like sharks to the blood, the predators and the bullies and the half-empty people that got neg stuff working through them. It's like they can sense it. It's like sharks to the blood. And therefore, you keep pulling those people to you like a magnet, and they somehow are able to find you and hone in on you and dish out that persecution because you're a match for it. You can have people standing next to you on either side of you who aren't getting it, but you will. Why? You know, it could be because, you know, hey, you're important in the big scheme of things. You're here to do something meaningful. But it could also be that you have it in your field for other reasons, like abuse in your childhood or past life holdovers, and you're a match, and they are attracted to you, and then they, like a magnet, and they find you, and then you pull it through them. So that's another reason. And it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. I mean, it can be both. Like, I think in my case, because me connecting up with Tom was a meaningful thing that was going to positively impact a lot of people, we had a lot of attacks against us for that reason. But I also think part of it for me was stuff that was in my field from childhood stuff and maybe even past life. So it was both in my case.
Our guest is Carissa Conti, author of the book Chasing Phantoms. This is a conceptual discussion on the topic of interference. Speaking with Carissa Conti, author of the book Chasing Phantoms, we're talking about the concept of interference. What is the concept of pulling through and the therapeutic benefit? What happens there?
Well, awareness that, you know, the realization and awareness that it's happening in the first place, just to see it and to realize, hey, is a major first step. And so once you have that awareness, you can start trying to change your frequency, basically. And this is something I get into at the very end of the Hidden Puppet Masters article. I don't just talk about, oh, there's all these negative forces, they're out to get you, the end. I try to also give people some helpful tips. If you notice this is happening to you, you got to question why. And what can you do on your end to try to minimize or even completely stop it? And that's one of the things, is that, you know, you have awareness that it's even happening, you're able to recognize it, and then just start trying to change yourself so that you are no longer a match for that, so that you don't register on the radar anymore. You're not an easy target. And it's just one thing at a time. Like, with each interaction that you're having, you're getting better and better at seeing through the situation, recognizing the bully or the predator for what they are, changing the way you're responding, you know, no longer having that upset reaction where you're being victimized and they're affecting you. They're able to get under your skin, you know, learning how to make it so it doesn't bother you anymore. Like, you don't care, and you truly don't care. So therefore you're not a match, and they got nothing to work with. Once they got nothing to work with, it's like no more sharks to the blood, because it just, they'll skip right over you and find somebody else.
All right. Another category that we've talked about on this show is psychic vampires or energy vampires. And mm-hmm. Here it is again. In the form of interference that you had wrote a bit about. And can you tell listeners some of that?
Energy vampires, just in case those listening aren't familiar with it, it's just basically a person who saps your energy. And sometimes, you know, it's really obvious because they're coming at you with problems and complaints and a lot of negative stuff, which just being around them is draining just because they're so negative. But then there's other people where, and I've experienced this on at least one occasion, I had an ex-boyfriend who seems like the most pleasant, nice guy, but he could literally siphon your energy just by sitting next to him. And I didn't know about this at the time. So that you'd sit next to him just talking about pleasant things, and you could be exhausted after about a half an hour. You literally want to go crawl onto your bed and pass out. And I had a friend named Mike who would hang out with him a lot. They knew each other for years, and he verified the same thing. Like, he didn't like being around him for too long because he would literally like siphon your energy. And I don't know the mechanism of how that works. I mean, it makes sense when someone's overtly negative and got problems and complaints and they're coming at you, sapping your energy in that way. But I don't know how it works when people can be pleasant and yet sapping your energy, but it's apparently a very real phenomenon. So that's what we're referring to when we talk about energy vampires. For me, these types run rampant in the world, and they behave as if they're basically like the crazy characters in a video game designed to create obstacles and problems in order to keep things interesting. So they're like just, you know, the annoying characters and troublemakers that get in our way, because otherwise maybe the game would get too boring or something. I don't know. They provide the challenges for us to bounce ourselves off of so that, you know, we can learn and grow. That's the positive way, I guess, of trying to look at it. So annoying as they are, they can be the silver lining. You know, there is that silver lining to them. But the trick is to learn to recognize them for what they are, and to see through their behavior so they don't suck you into their trap and get the best of you. And then, you know, you got to manage not to let them drag you down to their level and turn you into them. So you got to come out squeaky clean on the other side. So that's basically how I look at these troublemaker types that distract you in life and create obstacles and drain your energy. It's just, you got to learn to recognize them for what they are and be able to step over them.
The vampire metaphor is interesting, where if you hang out with one for a while, you do become like them, I suppose, because if you don't know how to resupply your own energy that's being taken, then you're going to want to steal someone else's.
Right. Yep, that's something I've come across in my research, and that I've talked to others about as well, is that exact problem. And then it just becomes all the way down the line. You know, this person's sucking this person's energy, so now they're depleted and they got to find a way to get energy. And I mean, I had a coworker who, she was very negatively oriented at a previous job I had, and she had all these things in her life that were just sucking her energy. And so she in turn would do very nasty, devious things to other people that would then suck their energy, so she could like try to replenish hers. I mean, I don't even think she was conscious of what she was doing. I don't think most people are, but that I really believe that's what was going on in that situation. So it's interesting to see it happening. And then those people get depleted and now they've got to get it back, or, you know, it's just crazy.
Another category here is the woo-woo interference. And you describe it as when one is waking up or beginning to read meaningful material. How does interference manifest here? Why would interference want to occur?
Oh, this is a big one, actually, and I have heard from so many people about this very specific topic, where people are starting to wake up. They're on the path to, you know, truth-seeking, basically, conspiracy, metaphysical stuff. They're reading all these websites and books and waking up to what the world situation is and what's really going on here. And, you know, stuff starts happening to try to prevent that from happening. So, and there's a lot of different ways. And I had compiled a list that I put in my interference article. And this is based not only on stuff that I personally experienced or my boyfriend, Tom, but people that I've talked to in person and online. And they're all reporting these same repetitive phenomenon that happened. But some of the things that people will happen, like if they're trying to sit down to meditate or to read really meaningful material that is going to help them wake up and help them evolve on a soul level, or, you know, just make them more aware, some of the things that'll happen is they might get like an unnaturally strong urge to go lie down and go to sleep. Like, they just become overcome with tiredness. And that tiredness thing, it's the same thing that can happen with relationship interference mentioned earlier. So that's like one of those tactics that they use for a lot of different scenarios. Brain scramble. So that's one that I know I've definitely experienced, where you just have this sudden inability to focus on the material. And I've heard from others saying that same thing too. Like, your brain, you feel like you can't even think all of a sudden. And that's the giveaway. It's like you're fine one moment until the second you start trying to engage in these things, and then boom, it's like you can't function anymore.
Right.
I've also, this is a weird one, but I've had the sudden onset of loud ear tones and just all around sort of noise pollution in my ears when trying to read meaningful materials or do meditation. And it becomes so distracting. and then leads to brain scramble so that I'm no longer able to continue. I've had sudden onset of a headache. Others have had that as well. Developing sudden apathy, or it's the permanent resistance to researching the material when previously you had enthusiasm for it. So it's just inexplicable. Like all of a sudden you could care less about it, and it's just almost like an overnight change. Mm-hmm. And then the weird, like unnaturally improbable phone calls or people arriving at your door, or other such distractions or problems that erupt every time you feel like you have a moment to read or research or meditate, like just uncanny, constant distractions in the physical world.
You gave a great example of that occurring to you with a coworker named Jeff. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Jeff was somebody I worked with years ago in Fort Lauderdale, and he was really interested in these experiences, but didn't the weird phenomenon stuff, but didn't have anybody really around him in life to talk to it about. So I was like a rare person that he had found that, oh, we can talk about this stuff. This is great. But, you know, so we're at work, and every time, like, I had a free moment, like I'd steal away to go to his cubicle. Hey, can, you know, if we talk for like 5 or 10 minutes or something on a break. Every single time I would do that, like without fail, all of a sudden his phone would just blow up. People just calling him back to back to back. People would come up to his cubicle. They all of a sudden need something from him. But it was even weirder was that they would act like I wasn't even there, like I was invisible, and they would just start talking on top of me, like I was not there. And just wow. Cutting me off and just drowning me out. And it was so infuriating because I could see what was happening because it was every time. But he didn't know. He wasn't aware. So he would let it have its way and not try to put his foot down, you know. And so it could easily work because, you know, when only one person is aware and the other isn't, and it can be successful. So, yeah, that was to me like a really good example. It was just uncanny. Like every time we tried to talk, we couldn't basically. It prevented us from being able to talk.
I find it interesting that he didn't notice it. I understand that, but when it
he kind of did, like he'd be like, oh, you know, like kind of making faces like, wow, this is so weird. Blah, blah, blah. But I don't think he really took it serious in terms of recognizing it as this is actual interference. So something is trying to prevent this, you know. I don't think he took it to that level of seriousness.
Right. Now, relationships, both romantic and friendships, that's another interesting category that you focused on, and there's an online virtual world and the real life aspect of this particular category. Can you tell listeners about this one?
Yeah, for interference in terms of friendships and relationships, both online and real world.
Yes.
Yeah, it's basically the same kind of tactics that happen with both. Some of the things that I and others have noticed is when stuff's trying to interfere and keep people apart, is you may develop sudden outright negative feelings literally overnight in terms of wanting to engage with the other person or people or group, even though nothing obvious happened to create that negative feeling. Sudden inexplicable disinterest and apathy, an exchange that, you know, you maybe had previous interest in being a part of suddenly just keeps getting put on the back burner. You can never seem to get around to it and you feel no desire to make it happen anymore. You just let it fade away. Yet you don't even know why you're doing that. You just, you know, and you don't even bother trying to put any effort into the friendship or relationship. And that kind of ties into the way in which you may have a spate of endless distractions and problems that may erupt in the person's life to keep them away from each other, while the person that this is happening to mindlessly goes along with it, allowing the obstacles and distractions to have their way and not trying to push past it, which kind of is exactly what I just described to what happened when I was trying to talk to Jeff that one time. And then you may have interference with sending and receiving emails, text messages, snail mail, phone calls, voicemails, all that kind of general interference to try to disrupt you being able to connect with each other. And then a big one, and this is a big one actually, it should almost be at the top of the list, is the manufactured misunderstandings and miscommunications and just all around misperceiving of the other person's words and actions. This inserts discord, suspicion, or negativity that would otherwise not be there. And it really does help to break people apart, you know. So those are the big ones that I've noticed.
There's another interesting category regarding presentations that you've written about that really struck me because I noticed it, but I've always dismissed the interference occurring is normal. But you had highlighted some of it, and I thought, wait a minute, you're onto something here once again. Can you tell listeners about interference regarding presentations?
Sure. And it overlaps or ties into the idea of someone who's trying to make a positive effect in the world that might be putting out useful information that could actually make people wake up or, you know, just have some sort of positive dent in the world. And I've noticed it, like, I'm watching presentations online, for instance, and you'll notice in the audiences of so many of these presentations, just everybody all of a sudden seems to have a coughing fit. Everybody all around the audience keeps coughing. And it doesn't sound like much, but after noticing this multiple times in multiple videos and presentations, I began to question it. And it just starts to annoy me because it seems so obvious to me after a while. Like, it's creating disruption. So here's this person standing on stage trying to give their presentation. And meanwhile, just people are just coughing and hacking all around the audience. And nobody's saying anything. Nobody's doing anything. And one of the latest ones I noticed, you, Jeff, actually, you had forwarded me a link to a video on YouTube of Philip K. Dick back in 1977 talking about the existence of the Matrix
right.
long before the movie had ever came out. And, I mean, this is a video I already had on my website, but I had responded back to you pointing out, notice how around the 2 minute and something mark of the video, right when he starts to get into the meat of his presentation, the really good stuff, all of a sudden there's like an eruption of coughing all around in the audience. So it's like something that people can prove for themselves. You look at these presentations, you'll start to notice like distractions of the audience members and coughing and doing weird things. And I think you've probably experienced that as well when you're giving presentations or stuff where people are interfering and nobody does anything.
Yes, I have. That has occurred just recently, where the coughing had occurred and the shouting out of questions, even though you say you respectfully request questions afterward, people will claim they didn't hear you say that or keep asking anyway. That occurred, and then recently an individual fell off their chair at a particular critical point, which focused the attention of the room onto them. So very effective interference tactics, whether they're intentional or not, they do interfere with the material being presented.
Right. And it's like once you recognize it, now you'll start to notice it when you're watching these presentations, like how rampant this is with all the coughing and throat clearing. And you know, and I really don't know if these people are knowingly trying to do it on purpose. Like, are we saying that they're sent into these things to try to create distractions and disruptions, or is it stuff, the quote-unquote stuff, you know, as I refer to it, mm-hmm. that's working through them to just make them feel like they've got an itchy throat and they got to constantly be coughing and clearing, you know, is it maybe not even their fault, like is stuff just utilizing them like a pawn? I mean, I have no way to know that, but I'd love to know.
Well, you've written a lot about it in that The Hidden Puppet Masters article, so you cover those details of how it could happen to someone, how something malevolent can get into particular people, even to the point where it's a demonic entity, that there's one entity that can affect multiple people at the same time. Carissa, there are aspects of interference that you do conclude with in your article. There are positive elements of interference in people's lives, and there's also negative interference. And can you talk about both of those?
Sure. The negative interference basically encompasses much of what we've been speaking about. It's anything designed to bring individuals down and prevent them from achieving the positive things that they might be able to achieve in life and the ways in which they might positively affect their fellow man. And it also, on the global level, just to keep all of humanity down and kind of suppressed in general. So there's that. But then there's also, interestingly, and I mentioned this in my article, that there's times when interference is actually a good thing. You know, there's times when what we may see as interference is actually something acting to keep us from going down a wrong path, to keep us from doing something we're not supposed to be doing. Maybe because the timing isn't right, or it's just the completely wrong path, and something that's higher than us knows that. We don't, because we're totally in the middle of our life, and we just don't know. We think it's the right thing. We think, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but maybe it's not. So whatever this force is, it's actually acting in our best interest. And, you know, the source can be whatever people believe in, whether it's God, Jesus, the higher self, angels, aliens, whatever. But if something isn't working out as you hoped or planned, then there comes a point where you have to just sort of stop, you know, step back, analyze the situation rather than forcing things, you know, try to feel it out and get an idea, you know, because maybe things aren't working out for a reason. And it's just something that you can't see yet from your limited vantage point, but which will become a little bit more evident down the line. And I'm sure we've all had those experiences where you thought you were supposed to have been doing something. It didn't work out. At the time, it seemed like a big bummer, a really bad thing. But only down the line with hindsight, when you look back at it, you realize, oh, I'm so glad that that didn't work out the way I thought it was supposed to, because it would have been all wrong. I mean, because maybe if you'd continued down that wrong path, you wouldn't have, for instance, you know, met up with somebody that you were supposed to connect with, or you wouldn't have gotten a job that you're supposed to be at, or just your overall life plan would have been screwed up. I really do believe there's that kind of interference. It's interference in quotes, because it's actually in your best interest. And I know I've experienced it, and I think a lot of people have.
And you do point out that we're challenged to use our intuition in these cases and discern what type of interference is occurring at the moment. Is it a natural interference, or is it something bigger? When you do suspect that you are being interfered with on another level beyond something normal, what do you suggest the best course of action to take?
Well, with the intuition part, like, you know, I was saying, you really should actually, hopefully, you know, when you tune into it, I should be able to feel, you know, and to get an idea of things. Like, if something isn't right, you should be able to feel it and just sort of get a sense of things. And the course of action that, like, just looking at my own situation and those times where it just seemed like something's trying to mess with you, like at a job, for instance, like I mentioned earlier, if you can kind of tell, like, look, this is just interference trying to, you know, mess with me, try to get me to prematurely quit something I shouldn't be quitting, just hang tight. Don't make rash, impulsive decisions. Don't play into it, because that's how this stuff works, is that people don't tune in with their intuition and they just react impulsively and they play right into something. And that's the key, is to not play into it. I think in the Toltec belief system, some people may be familiar with the Toltec, almost like it's like a Native American religion. They have the whole thing about no action, not doing. It's called not doing. That comes in handy, having a lot of awareness and not reacting impulsively, just not doing, and don't play into stuff. So, and just feel it out, just kind of look around, analyze what's really happening here, so you can then figure out what is the course to take with a relationship, for instance, instead of just breaking up with someone or cutting somebody out of your life. Like, do maybe like what me and Tom had done, where we decided to talk about what was happening and see what happens. Just at least give it a chance and just try to talk about it. And like, sure enough, guess what? The bad feelings that we'd both had just instantly lifted, like went away. Like, it had no more power because we were discussing it. So you do things like that to try to get the upper hand.
Carissa Conti, author of the book Chasing Phantoms, and you also run the site intoworlds.net. This is a good place to wrap up the first part of the interview. Thank you very much for being on In Other News.
Oh, well, thank you. I enjoy being on here. Thanks.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again next Monday, 10 p.m.